We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars. Time to see where our curiosity will take us.
We are going to have the opportunity for untold discoveries. This location in Gale Crater is absolutely amazing, a place we could never have thought of getting to just a few years ago.
There are many out in the community who say that NASA has lost its way, that we don't know how to explore, that we've lost our moxie. I want you to look around tonight, all those folks with the blue shirts, think about what we've achieved.
There's some sound from Mission Control where the rover lander Curiosity touched down on Mars very, very late. It was Sunday night or early Monday morning, and it's there. It's big. As they say, it's as big as a car, and it's supposed to be powered there, well, for at least 2 years, exploring part of Mars we've never seen before. You also heard Doug McQuiston and John Grunsfeld, both of the Curiosity Project there at NASA. Should we be exploring other planets? Is there a Christian perspective on space exploration or the discoveries that are laying ahead for us on the red planet Mars? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bishop James Heiser is going to be our guest here for the first few minutes. We talk about Christianity and Mars exploration. After that, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us as she usually does, teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about the soldiers protecting Paul in Acts chapter 21. Emily Cook joins us. She's written a great new book. It's a story of her daughter's illness and family struggle and suffering and the theology of the cross. It's called Weak and Loved, a daughter, mother-daughter love story. We'll talk with her about Christian suffering and especially suffering as a family. And then some audio open lines. I got a question for you because right now as we speak, Missourians are going to the poll, and among other things that they're deciding whether or not to amend the state's constitution to permit religious freedom, prayer in school, that is private prayer in school. And it's a very broad amendment that many say is a wolf in sheep's clothing and unnecessary because we already have the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. I want to know what you think about it, whether or not you're voting for or against, if you're a Missouri resident, what you think about this so-called prayer amendment to the Missouri Constitution during audio open lines last half hour of Issues, etc. For the next 2 hours, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page and you can leave a question or comment during audio open lines. What do you think of Missouri's prayer amendment? Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. Bishop James Heiser is the Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America. He's pastor of Salem Lutheran Church in Malone, Texas, and a member of the Mars Society Board of Directors. Bishop Heiser, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you today.
Many people don't associate space exploration or even an interest in such things with a serious theologian. Why are you so interested in it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's really a tradition going back for centuries of theologians, especially of our Lutheran confession, taking an interest in the study of the heavens. I most prominently can think of Johannes Kepler as one of the great astronomers of the late Renaissance. And yet he was also a university-trained Lutheran theologian. And so in that sense, for all of us who are interested in studying God's good creation, there's a ample reason to be interested not only in studying God's good work and handiwork here in the midst of this earthly realm, but also seeing what he's fashioned in the heavens above us.
Now, how important in your estimation, you obviously follow this with some interest, how important, in your estimation, is this a safe landing of Curiosity on Mars?
this is, to just state it very directly, is the most important mission to Mars yet. Of all of the rovers, Curiosity is the one that has the greatest capacity for study and is also has been built with the greatest longevity. You know, when we look at those other two rovers of a few years ago, Spirit and Opportunity, those were built for a 90-day mission, and yet year after year they continued to conduct their work as directed by the scientists who found themselves with this wonderful resource that just kept going on. In the case of Curiosity rover, it has been built for a one-year mission. And so as one of the JPL scientists was saying at our recent Mars Society convention in Pasadena, California, it could very well still be operating when human beings finally reach Mars at some point in the future.
Why would we want to do that? I mean, can you answer that question aside from just the sheer thrill of doing it, which I completely understand, of actually reaching that milestone in human exploration? Why would a Christian think that's a good idea to actually set foot on the red planet?
Well, I think for the same reason that we're always interested in expanding the realm of human knowledge. The Lord has presented us with the opportunity to study his creation, and just as we undertake scientific exploration here on Earth, we do there as well. But for those who are both Christians and those who are not of the faith, there is a great interest in studying whether or not life is something which is found only on Earth or whether it's also found on other planets. And certainly the Curiosity rover is a very advanced piece of technology when it comes to looking for signs of life on Mars.
I want to get into some of the uniqueness of this mission in just a minute, but your last answer raises a question I'm sure listeners are wondering about, and that is, look, if they find evidence of past life there, that is probably going to be microbial life, they find evidence of something had lived there, presence of water, and therefore they think the likelihood of life, does that disprove the Bible and Genesis account of creation?
Certainly not, and none of the theologians of either the medieval period or of the Renaissance age would have imagined it to have been something that would disprove the faith. I mentioned Kepler a few minutes ago. You know, at the time when he was undertaking his research in the early 1600s, he took it for granted that every world had life that was fitting for that place, because that was simply something he believed based on his study of Scripture and the scientific assumptions of the time. We've learned since then that that seems like a pretty optimistic assessment. But nevertheless, it was not seen as something which was impossible for God. Rather, it was something which many theologians anticipated. You've had now, in this era of the Darwinist notion of things, this sense that somehow, if God were to have done such a thing as to establish life on another world, that somehow this would negate the faith. I just don't see the logic of that. And
So you wouldn't be surprised, barring, I mean, Mars is obviously, so far, most of the evidence would say lifeless, although the evidence is pretty small. You know, we haven't looked at a lot of evidence yet. You would not be surprised if a year from now this Curiosity rover has found some kind of the beginnings of solid evidence for past life on Mars.
Well, Todd, you're right to point out that we've really barely begun to scratch the surface, both metaphorically and literally. You know, we've had a few landers. We have some wonderful shots from orbit as well. But in terms of the real on-the-surface work that needs to be done, a big part of the frustration is using robots, it can take you a year to do what a field geologist could do in a day or two on the surface. And so, you know, we've looked at a couple of sites. I doubt that we'll find anything definitive one way or the other within the next few years. Now, of course, this rover was built to specifically look for several signs of current life. You may have noticed in the news some months back that the presence of methane in the atmosphere of Mars was raising some questions, because often methane is an indicator for life. There are certain geological processes that also generate methane. But it's something that doesn't hang around in the atmosphere for very long, and so it had the scientists rather excited. The Curiosity rover is capable of distinguishing between methane formed by living creatures and that which is formed by geological processes. And so that's one of the things that they're looking for right now, is to see whether or not they can test that atmospheric methane and learn something more about it. A lot of what we've been doing in terms of the scientific research is by way of a negation. Okay, you know, didn't find life here, or didn't find any signs of it there. Some of the things they are finding are things that they anticipate you need for life to endure if it has been established there already. You know, presence of water, oxygen within the environment. We certainly have found ample evidence of there having been running water on the surface of Mars in the past, and there appears to actually be evidence of an ongoing hydrosphere there now. So that is something that will have to continue to be studied. But to answer your question most directly, I won't be surprised if they find evidence. I don't strongly anticipate it. It's something that we just simply have to wait and see where the scientific data takes us.
Why, with about a minute here before we take our first break, why is this location, Gale Crater, pretty well unique on the planet for the kind of discoveries they hope to find there?
Really important aspect of it is that you've got solid evidence of the action of water right on the surface, where on account of the crater, you've then also got access to a lot of subsurface data. In other words, you don't have to dig down a rather large rock that fell out of space already did that for us. And so they have the ability to look at different layers of the soil and look for, what we would look for here on Earth, look for evidence of fossils, look for evidence of water action within the layers of the soil there.
Bishop James Heiser is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and Mars exploration on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 7th of August. He's Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America, pastor of Salem Lutheran Church in Malone, Texas, and a member of the Mars Society Board of Directors. We'll be right back. Talk more about Christianity and Mars exploration right after this.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues, Etc. It's the new Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues, Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We'll be right back. What kind of questions or comments do you have about Mars exploration? We're talking about it during this hour with Bishop James Heiser, member of the Mars Society Board of Directors, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our email address on this Tuesday afternoon right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Bishop Heiser, what is this thing going to be doing day by day? I understand it's going to be doing it very, very slowly, especially according to American. It's going to take a week just to deploy most of the instruments there. But according to our attention span, it's going to be doing things very, very slowly. What will it be doing?
Well, it has a number of scientific packages that will be doing sampling of the soil, sampling of the rock, tests with the atmosphere. It'll also be bringing back a lot of photographic data. This is a big rover. It weighs about 2,000 pounds. And as you mentioned, it does things very slowly, and in part because every time that we send it instructions, you've got the lag because the speed of light just isn't fast enough for us. The data can take as much as 40 minutes round trip. No, 20 minutes to send something, 20 minutes to come back. And so the result is you have to think out every move very carefully in terms of where you want it to go, what you want it to do. It is equipped with a number of very advanced tools for sampling the rock. It even does carry a laser for boring into stone. So it's capable of doing a degree of field work that's just not really been possible before.
Just getting the thing there was the part that interested me the most. I'm sure you probably did, but my son and I stayed up late and watched NASA TV and Mission Control and saw the landing, and you know, it was very exciting. I want your pastoral thoughts on that, if you would, Bishop Heiser, because I'm watching this thinking, you know, this is a feat of human engineering, the likes of which has never been attempted or accomplished before. It just outstrips everything else we've tried in terms of landing something on Mars. And it went off without a hitch. And I'm thinking there as I'm watching this happen, you know, it reminds me a lot of the Tower of Babel. There are a lot of things that even in our fallen state we are capable of doing, and it requires great prudence to do it wisely. What are your thoughts?
That's absolutely right. Man does have tremendous capabilities which have been given to him. And it also testifies to the precision and order of the heavens themselves, in that, you know, a year ago at our Mars Society convention, Dr. Vasavada, who is one of the primary scientists involved in putting together the program of, you know, research, was able to stand there in front of the convention a year out and say, oh, yes, well, the lander will arrive at Mars on thus and such date at thus and such time, and this is where it will land. And a year later, you know, mind you, it hadn't even launched at that point. A year later, at that time, at that place, it landed. Because we knew, you know, that the laws which God has ordained, which control the way in which the heavens move, are fixed. Barring miraculous intervention on his part, everything continues to run day by day, year by year, as he had established from the very first moment of creation. And there is for us, if we approach such study wisely, an opportunity to reflect on precisely how glorious of a thing God has created in setting the heavens in their motion. You're right that there are, in any human endeavor, an opportunity for hubris on the part of man to start thinking about what we have done versus what he has done. But if we're looking at the creation wisely, then we're beholding how insignificant our reason, our capacity is in comparison to the God who has created and sustained all of this for his glory and also for great benefit for us.
Talk about the distinction that's often made theologically, and it's drawn from Paul's own words in the book of Romans and elsewhere, between the world of God that we can read, to borrow a phrase from Angus Manouge, and the Word of God that we can that we can read, natural and special revelation.
Exactly, because whenever we're dealing with the natural revelation, we're dealing with that which we can know about God from creation, we're always then dealing in the realm of law, aren't we? To know the good news of our salvation in Christ, that is something which God makes known only in his revealed word. You know, that which we know concerning the Christ through word and sacrament is of a very different order of knowledge from that which God reveals to conscience, to the natural, you know, through the things of the created order. There we know God according to his power. We certainly know some measure of his law, as St. Paul stresses so firmly in the Epistle to the Romans, for example. But you have a very limited knowledge of God that's available through the created order. It certainly teaches us to... it offers a certain level of, not verification, but an opportunity to study in line with what the Word teaches us concerning the creation. But there are certain things which the created order can never teach us. And those are the things that we need to know the most concerning the salvation which is ours in Christ, and which God makes known freely to us. So very different order in terms of the level of knowledge of God, but nevertheless important things to learn concerning this created order that he's made.
Dave is on the line. Dave, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment in terms of the larger idea, and you may have already talked about this already to some extent because I wasn't able to listen to the entire show, but if I might or so, the whole idea of exploration, I think the greatest exploration that went on was from Christian scientists, be it Newton or Kepler or Pascal, etc., and that was from a perspective of Christian acknowledging that God created the world, and then as human beings discovering God's creation, what's about, and what's God's laws, and what's different things, the wonderment of, etc., from gravity to different other things, other cultures and things that don't acknowledge God. There's no reason to study it because, you know, we're just here just by accident or something like that, or this, you know, just anyhow. Then getting into the greater thing in terms of or the more present situation of how the space program began. It began with Sputnik. It was in the air from the Russians, the satellite, and from that. Kennedy, President Kennedy, came up with the challenge, I believe, very shortly thereafter, that would put a man on the moon. So that was somewhat from a military anti-Cold War situation there, so it was a military venture. And we did, in fact, put people on the moon, and there's been some exploration. So there is, part of that is from learning the wonderment of God's creation, but part of that was initiated out of military superiority, so that they didn't let another country get ahead. Now, looking at since then, seems like much of the exploration that's going on is trying to disprove God. This being included and even stated it here, to try to find water, to find living things, to find out if there's been living people, or not people, but living matter on the Mars, such that it might have, by some manner, traveled through space and landed on the Earth to start our life forms, etc. So it's kind of strange from starting out as exploration to explore God's amazing world to now, and they're overtly saying it, even as they explore, to try to find life, and thereby trying to find out how life got here on Earth, etc.
Dave, thank you very much. Let's talk about two things that he raises. One, the impetus in Christianity itself for scientific, and you talked about Kepler before, but the impetus in Christianity itself for scientific exploration.
Well, yeah, and certainly we see it in more recent scientists as well. I mean, there was not a greater advocate of human exploration of Mars than Wernher von Braun. And he, if anything, his expression of his Christian faith became even stronger with the passing of time as he neared the end of his life. I know that there are some who would hijack the agenda here for atheistic purposes, as surely as they would in any other science. But the wonderful thing about science, you're dealing with matters of fact. And as Christians, we're never afraid of facts. We are afraid of what human beings in the darkness of their own blinded reason may want to do with those facts. But that's a separate matter. We're not afraid of what we might find because, you know, we trust that God created the heavens and the earth according to his good and perfect will. If we find life there, then that's because God created it. If we don't find any life there, then it is simply one more affirmation of the uniqueness of this good earth and what the Lord has established here. But neither situation, however the facts may prove out, is in any way damaging to the faith. There may be some who seek to manipulate those facts for their own ends, but that's a separate matter, and we can address that as we have with ideologies of men before.
With only 1 minute here, Bishop Heiser, for our ancestors, it was staring at the sky with the naked eye. It was staring through telescopes. And now we do have the capability, albeit very expensive, to reach out there and at least vicariously through these rovers, go there and look at the place itself and explore it, albeit through these rovers. Is this just another step in what was started there with Christian thinkers like Kepler and the others who were staring into the sky and marveling at God's wonderful creation? About a minute to respond.
Yeah, it is simply one. It can be one more step in that process. And for certainly Christians who are involved in science, that's a very important motivation. I have the privilege of knowing quite a few folks who fit in that category, who are most certainly not enemies of the faith. They're living out their faith in their scientific work. And for them, there is precisely that sense of wonder that comes to that endeavor. When you look back to the garden, the first thing that we see Adam do is, that by divine instruction, is to name all the creatures. And the first thing that he does is phylogeny. He's naming the animals. It's a scientific act. Science is not something which is evil. Men can use it, as they do almost everything, for evil ends, according to the depravity of man fallen into sin. But we have nothing to fear from continuing the work which our forefathers in the faith began, the study of the created order. And God can be glorified in this just as he is in other vocations.
James Heiser is Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America, pastor of Salem Lutheran Church in Malone, Texas, member of the Mars Society Board of Directors, and author of the books Shining City on a Hill and Civilization in the New Frontier. Bishop Heiser, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, thank you for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll go to Acts chapter 21, Soldiers Protecting St. Paul.
Well, Justin and Emily are more than halfway through the tutoring program at Sylvan Learning Center. Emily has discovered a way of multiplication that fits her learning style and is getting faster with her facts. Justin is getting better at actively reading passages and pulling out the important points. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.